Time ago, I heard a story about an impractical man, perhaps the kind of the most impractical man, the story of a poet. This is a modern poet living, and he was in his office, workplace, getting ready to go teach a class or give a lecture, and he was printing off some of his poetry. Unfortunately, the printer got jammed, as often happens in an office space, but he goes to give his lecture, and he comes back a few hours later, and when he arrives in the office with the jammed printer, the secretary comes up with the pointed finger and waves it in his face and says, "Your poetry is jamming my machine," which I think to a poet is perhaps the most substantial compliment that could ever be given. Your poetry is jamming my machine. And while this isn't the particular poem that jammed the machine on that day, this is from that same poet, William Guyte, an Anglican poet, but he speaks beautifully, writes beautifully on the mystery of this holy day which we celebrate today. He writes, "For that one moment, in and out of time, on that one mountain where all moments meet, the daily veil that covers the sublime and darkling glass fell dazzled at his feet. There were no angels full of eyes and wings, just living glory full of truth and grace. The love that dances at the heart of things shone out upon us from a human face. And to that light, the light in us leapt up. We felt it quicken somewhere deep within. A sudden blaze of long extinguished hope trembled and tingled through the tender skin. Nor can this blackened sky, this darkened scar, eclipse that glimpse of how things really are. The daily veil covering the sublime, falling dazzling at the feet, and a glimpse of how things really are." Here we are, my brothers and sisters, in that moment, on that mountain, with the poetry of the divine poet himself jamming the machine of our productivity and efficiency, our calculations, our schemes, our devices. The poetry of the divine poet himself. And what is it that we celebrate on this holy day of the Transfiguration as it jams the machine of the ordinary ritual of the church running through her Sundays in ordinary time, caught in the clog of Christ himself? What is it that we celebrate on this holy day? Is it that the divinity of Christ shines forth on that holy mountain? Of course it is. Is it that there's a prediction of the passion, a prediction of the resurrection, the light of the glory of the empty tomb? Of course, that's part of it. Is it a light of hope that's supposed to get us through the scandal of the cross? Of course, I think that's part of it. All kinds of lights. Is it the connection between the law and the prophets of old and the person of Jesus Christ? Yes, it is that. But my brothers and sisters, I think it's something infinitely more, because Jesus Christ is not principally or fundamentally concerned with the synapses in our brain, but with the capacity of our heart to love. And that is a mystery far beyond comprehension. Today we celebrate the radiance, the marvelous light of Jesus Christ that is just as confounding as it is anything else. It confounds us with a marvelous love, and this is a radiance that captivates the heart. It captivates the heart, and if we sit back on this holy day content with our understandings, check that makes sense with my biblical expectations, my salvific desires, that makes sense to me. We are missing the point. Today, as we are called every single day, we are called to be blinded by the light of Jesus Christ, and in that blinding to have our eyes open, to see what is always the case, that we live a graced existence, that in things seemingly so ordinary, there is a fourth dimension and an infinite dimension, an eternal dimension that is poured upon us, and we are saturated and dripping in grace and glory. We are dripping in grace and glory because of the light shining forth from the person of Jesus Christ. And what a beautiful and saving light it is. He led them up the mountain. This isn't insignificant for two reasons. Firstly, because he's the initiator. He's the one who calls them. And secondly, because they're climbing up a mountain. It's an arduous task. The priest does this significantly at every single moment. When he vests, he ties a cincture around his waist, and it leads forth from his beginning as if it were chains held by the hands of the Savior himself, drawing him up this high mountain that is the altar of Jesus Christ, Mount Calvary. My brothers and sisters, this is that mountain. This is that mountain which we are drawn by Christ himself. And if we do not climb the arduous task of the Christian life in offering our every single moment, significant or insignificant, mundane or ethereal or mountainous, if we don't offer every single moment as a step that brings us towards this holy altar, we're missing the point. Let us allow Christ to shine his light indiscriminately, a bright light, a bright cloud. What a marvelous and perplexing image that is, that a cloud casts light, but that's what we hear. There's a bright cloud where the voice of the Father speaks. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. My brothers and sisters, today, as is the case in every single day, there is no place within our hearts that the divine Savior does not wish to saturate and illumine with this divine radiance. This same radiance that in his theme, his refrain at every single moment, the same light that flooded all of creation when the Father said, "Let there be light," and there was light. A pillar of fire in the night to lead the people and protect them behind them as their rear guard. The light that poured forth from the empty tomb. The Pentecostal flames of fire that descended upon the apostles. My brothers and sisters, this is the way of the Father. This is the way of the Son. This is the way of the Holy Spirit. And so today, on this holy day, let us recognize that this isn't one just isolated moment in the course of human history, one of eternal significance, but it is a rendering of the veil of the way things actually are right here, right now, and in our lives because of the grace of God and because being adopted son and daughter of the Father. This is the story of our life. This is the gift of God himself. Not just making something known, but giving his light to us, flooding us with grace and glory. And indeed, we too can say, "Lord, it is good that we are here. It is good that we are here before your face, before your glory." If we can see it or not, that not be the primary fact that matters, because the fact is that light has shone forth upon the world and darkness has not comprehended it. But that's okay. The light is no less great because of the darkness's incomprehensibility of their gift. So let our hearts swell with that of these blessed apostles. "Lord, it is good that we are here. Before your face, before your light, before your truth, before your glory, before your mercy. Penetrate and saturate everything inside of us, the darkness, the light, that we too can sing with every ounce of our existence, 'Lord, it is good that we are here.'"